Well, thanks for deciding to speak with me.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So your name is Tim.
Mm-hmm.
No last name?
Tim Nicholson. Yeah. A lot of my family calls me Timmy, so I kind of go by that. But yeah.
Secret of Mana?
Secret of Mana.
Mana.
Is what I, my Instagram is what I've been kind of going as with that. But yeah, Secret of Mana.
And is it like an anime reference or something?
So it comes from a couple of things. I'd say the first thing I got it from was a Super Nintendo RPG video game back in the day. I always liked the soundtrack. It has, like, you know, pretty good music, adventure type music or whatever. That's kind of where it derived from. And also, like, it has some, like, biblical references. Mana can be found in the Bible for, like, different things, you know, bread. And I guess they're, like, turning, like, gold into bread and stuff like that, you know. Some biblical references. And, you know, also, too, I wanted to use kind of like some alchemy references. But I didn't want to like say alchemy in the name, you know, like Tim's Alchemy Jewelry. I just wanted to be something kind of just different and not really put me in a box, because, you know, it's not just jewelry or whatnot.
Right, yeah, like you make jewelry, you became popular for making grills.
Yeah, yeah.
But you make other pieces.
Other pieces and just doing other creative things or whatnot.
And you DJ.
And DJing, yeah.
Cool.
So just doing something, saying it without saying the word alchemy or jewelry and not putting myself in a box, I guess.
I don't know. But I really fuck with the layers on
you
the...
You like it? Yeah.
Yeah, so...
I always wonder what people think of the name. I'm like, they probably just think I'm...
It was very mysterious. Yeah. I was like...
It's like trying to be mysterious, but it's really not that, you know, deep. It's just trying to basically just have fun with it, you know.
Yeah, because you're like, bio is just a link to YouTube video.
It's literally the soundtrack of that video game, just to have, you know, have fun with it. Like, I don't have a website or anything, and which I probably should eventually, but I don't know.
I fuck with the enigmatic element.
Just having fun with the internet, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. So how did you get your start in making jewelry?
Good question. Actually, my wife, Nani, she's from Miami. She's Cuban. She got me into it. She was doing she was doing metalsmithing just on the side for fun or whatnot. And she was making these like little, you know, all types of stuff, rings, bracelets, earrings, little pendants. She started doing these Cafe Terra pendants, so like, you know, a coffee, like the tin coffee kettle thing, the home one that she was making, like pretty much a silhouette, and she was cutting it out of metal sheets or whatnot. I was just helping her, and it was fun. We decided to take wax casting class. Basically, it's a lost wax casting. At this place called Lil Street. It's up north in Ravenswood. We took that class just for fun and just, you know, learning the basics, making rings and carving wax or whatnot, and then casting it. So whatever you make in wax, you cast it or whatnot. We were just using silver at the time. And I think during that time, I, like, wanted my own just grill, custom gold tooth or whatever. And I think I was in New York and people were referring me to places to go to, and I went and I just didn't really like the quality of some of the ones I've seen.
Yeah.
They're just like storefronts, you know, whatever. And I went and I just did that. I wasn't feeling the quality, and I was just like, man, I just need to figure this out.
When was that?
When was that?
Yeah.
This was, I want to say 3 years ago. So.
Oh, wow.
It was sometime, but yeah. So that's basically how it kind of started, and just started practicing on my own. Obviously, figuring out how to make molds, a lot of YouTube videos,
right?
A lot of trial and error.
There's no, like, manual.
there's no how-to. I mean, you can search, but, I mean, really, there's a lot of YouTube and a lot of practice.
Just I'm sure a lot of trial and error.
A lot of trial and error, just messing up tons of times, doing our own molds, like, coming out horrible, and then, you know, just practicing making it look like your tooth.
Right.
You know, like, sculpting it in a way, the form, so it just has, like, you know, it looks like, because if you look at some, you know, they just, you know, they don't really have form, just lacking a little bit of form or whatever the case may be. So just trying to make it look as accurate as you can to the tooth, you know.
Yeah.
So that's what I was, you know, practicing.
What is it you love about making jewelry? Was it something you wore as a kid, or I don't know?
You know, I never really wore jewelry, and I still really don't like that. So I think it was just more because I have a background in like 3D modeling and worked on video games and such. So it was more kind of just happened organically. It wasn't like, oh, I want to be a jeweler, or like, I still don't even consider myself a jeweler. I just happened to do jewelry or whatnot. So I don't know. It really wasn't like a certain thing. It kind of just happened organically. Just trying to make a good, seeing other people, you know, right? Like when I'm out and about and I see other people like have, you know, and just seeing that person, you know, for example, someone really wants one and they come to see me and, you know, everything goes right where they have a piece and they're so happy. Like, I feel like that's like,
The
thing, you know, like for me at least.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like you've become Chicago's like music scene's go-to.
Think so?
Yeah.
That's what's up. Yeah. I mean, that's cool. I mean, I like to think that. I mean, that's awesome. You know, Chicago's such a creative, you know, place to be, especially these times. And there's so many people doing big things. To even be considered in that is such. It's just, yeah, I. It's awesome.
Yeah. Well, I was reading this. I think I told you I was reading this Vice article about the history of grills or fronts. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it said that, I guess, Nelly, shout out Nelly, kind of brought it back with, you know, his song, I guess. But the real history is that it's like from, a lot of it's from the Philippines.
Yeah,
and,
yeah, yeah.
You know, you said you're half Filipino and half.
Yep.
Yeah.
So maybe that could be the hidden spark. I don't know. That could be.
That's like a correlation. Cool connection.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Because I mean, I didn't know that until I did research. You know, and I was like, oh damn, and plus they're doing them way back, you know, when, and I feel like nowadays, which is, you know, it's funny you say the Nelly thing because people have like a certain, you know. They're like, oh, they're grills or for certain people or whatnot, and I feel like now it's more mainstream, and you know, it's anyone can wear it. It's not for just that.
Yeah, the accessibility has definitely changed.
It's different. Yeah. It's different. It's more accepted now, I feel like.
Yeah.
And I feel like the more you see it too, you know, it's, you're like, oh, okay, I get it. I get it now.
Yeah, because I feel like, you know, I only saw grills on rappers.
Totally.
You
know, totally. Not on
a regular person.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I feel like obviously rap culture is a huge part of it because they put it, you know, it's in the forefront, and, you know, and it's a lot of people want to quote unquote flex a lot, and you want to feel good for yourself. You know, you want to accessorize in certain ways, especially when you go out, you know, it's for yourself, you know, because you think about it this way, you know, any good quality piece of jewelry, you know, obviously is going to cost money. So if you're in the position to do something, and you know, you're obviously you're rewarding yourself, you know, like, oh, I want to do something for myself. And I feel like that's what it's all kind of about. You're flexing for yourself or whatnot.
So you had a collaboration with Azrae Garden?
Yeah. Not too long ago, Azrae Garden, Elizabeth, it's It's crazy that that store. They have a store in Wicker Park on North Avenue. It's been around for so long. It's it's legendary. It's pretty much they sell plants, a lot of floral stuff and home decor, jewelry. Mm-hmm. It's basically one of my favorite shops that I've ever been to. It's it's once you go in, you're just like, wow, this is amazing. And Elizabeth, who curates it, she's just got such a sense of style or whatnot. And she opened a new store in Ace Hotel in West Loop.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, if you haven't been, I highly recommend. It's awesome. So for me to do kind of we did an event and collab there in early spring or whatnot, and just for me to do something with her in that store was like, as my first thing, it was kind of, I'm like, wow, I just can't believe that.
And
it's my favorite store.
Yeah.
So for me, I'm just a fan of the store.
Yeah.
So for me to do something with that is like,
it sounds like it's very surreal. Botanical in there, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. It kind of works too. I mean, because, like I said, she has, tons of jewelry in there, and it's very curated to where it has, like, they go together, mm-hmm. the plants and the jewelry, the home decor.
And you did custom moldings there?
Yeah, we did custom molds there, did a lot of appointments, did walk-ups. Yeah, it was just basically a pop-up, and then we had a party afterwards. It was super turned up. I had Christine King Marie DJ'd. She has a few pieces from me. A lot of people showed up. I was super, I had no idea.
Yeah.
You show up. You have right. You just don't really know. So you just plan it and hope all goes well. And literally, it was pretty much everything went great. It was fun time.
It seems like your following's kind of ballooned. Like, did you, were you, how do you feel about that?
It's excited. Cool, yeah. I mean, I'm definitely excited. It's weird because you don't really promote it to be like that. It's all kind of word of mouth and people. So it's really other people just spread it, and it's I'm super grateful for that because I don't really, like I said, I don't have a website. I don't really market it like that. I do everything out of my house.
Yeah.
So it's really just everything's all organic. And word of mouth, word of IG or whatever.
Right,
and
right.
So it just, I'm super happy that it can work like that. It's all direct to consumer.
Yeah, you just do it in your home.
Yeah, from the crib. Yeah, the crib is my lab. And, which is cool because, we have a daughter and it's to spend time with her, without having to go somewhere to work I feel like that's, a luxury in itself.
Yeah, that is.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like you mentioned, you're half Filipino, half Puerto Rican.
Yeah.
You said?
I'm a hybrid, I guess.
And very Chicago. Although you're not from here.
I'm from central Illinois, Bloomington, Peoria area. It's like a huge college town.
How'd you end up here?
I ended up here just because I have, family, friends up here. We always come up here. Especially for Bulls games in the 90s, just heavily influenced by all that stuff. But yeah, always come to Chicago since way back when. And I came up here, I moved here officially in I think it was 03 to go to school, at the Illinois Institute of Art for video game design.
Oh, nice.
So that's when I moved up here.
How do your cultures inform your work in any way or show up in your daily life?
What do you mean?
I don't know. I mean, I think the reason why I do this, the podcast, is because, I'm first generation Indian. I like talking to other folks who are,
kind of. I mean, I wouldn't say that it's any reasoning or anything like that. It's more just I don't want to say you know how people are saying, I do it for the culture.
Yeah, right.
But I mean, I do, I guess you could say that, you know, it is for the culture or whatnot. I mean, as corny as it kind of sounds, but when you're just that is your culture, you know, or whatever, you know, American culture, just being, you know, listen to a lot of, like, I don't know, music, like, obviously hip-hop and rap and, like, house music and just, you know, even, like, drum and bass, just that type of, you grow up in that, that's your culture, you know what I mean? So I feel like jewelry and obviously the custom teeth, that kind of goes hand in hand with that, you know. It's almost like how skateboarding is part of hip-hop culture and punk,
yeah,
you know, and then house music, you know, and where those origins are from, you know, I mean, you can say some, you know, have Hispanic culture influence, Asian culture influence.
I mean,
you know,
I think jewelry is just like obviously a sign of wealth.
Yeah,
you know, historically.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, now it's more accessible, but mm-hmm. you know, even reading that article just about the reasons why people wore grills or fronts back then.
Status.
Yeah, status.
A lot of status. So.
Which is true,
yeah. Yeah, it's huge status. I mean, you go on IG, you see, like, crazy pieces, iced out.
Yeah.
People, you know, flexing for the cause. I mean, that's cool because it's inspiring.
Yeah.
Because that just, you know, if you want that, you can... Basically, if you want that, you can get that, you know, if you really work hard at whatever it is you're trying to do and pursue.
Yeah. I mean, it's like a flex and... You know, you could say, like, a flex is very superficial, but you can also read a flex as, like...
motivation.
Yeah.
There's different... It's how you look at it, you know? Obviously, if you're wasting money on certain things, then that's not smart.
Yeah.
But if you are being productive and making money and you're responsible with it, then you can do that, those type of things. That's what it's there for.
That was interesting what you were saying about how gold is viewed as mythological.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the origins or what they're saying is, it's, you know, it's not from, you know, this Earth. It's, you know, they're from, like, yeah, I guess meteorites and asteroids colliding here, you know, millions of years ago, and from the Earth transforming and just, you know, moving or whatnot. It's you know, formed, you know, gold or whatnot and just precious metals.
Yeah.
And I guess, yeah, nowadays we mine for it. You know, that's why it's so precious and its value. So, yeah, I mean, it has, like, you know, it's not from this world. You know, it's like...
That's crazy.
It's sought out. It's like how it holds actual value.
That's why we say the word alchemy is just, like, such a... It also feels like a very mythological practice.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, to cast something, to, like, make something to gold or any metal from, like, wax or, you know, however you're making it, the whole process is literally alchemy.
Yeah.
Because you're taking, whether it is a hand sculpted thing or a 3D printed thing, wax or plastic, you're taking that and you're casting that, you know, you're using lots of materials and a lot of fire.
Yeah.
Temperatures, and you're investing and the whole process, and then you're casting it, you know, and then, you know, you're using a lot of acids afterwards and just polishing and compounds. And there's just a lot of steps, and they figured that out. And yeah, you can literally make whatever it is you want, you know, especially nowadays too, with 3D printing kind of gives, you know, me an advantage because I have that background with video games. So I can create any object.
You know, so the 3D printing plays into...
Yeah, it's another tool. It's just a tool.
Yeah.
It's a lot of people, obviously, they do hand wax. Like, I do all my teeth, all the teeth hand wax. But I do, like, pendants and rings. A lot of that stuff is 3D.
Mm.
It's the same process as far as casting, but just to get the wax, it's just another tool. So it's, you know, it's... That's part of a, you know, digital alchemy, if you want to call it. You're just making something to something.
Digital alchemy. Yeah. That's interesting. Never thought about it that way. Now you started DJing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, it was funny is that I had some background in DJing, mostly like vinyl, like just way back in the day, you know, when I was like into like just collecting vinyl. You know, it was just kind of like a hobby of mine. I spent way too much money and I have no vinyl to show for it.
Oh, damn.
I know, it sucks. But yeah, so I kind of have like some knowledge in, you know, DJing or whatnot. But so nowadays, obviously, you can bring a laptop to the function and just plug in.
Right.
And use Serato or whatever. And so I've been, yeah, DJing a few gigs lately, which is kind of cool because, you know, music, I listen to music while I'm working the whole time. So it's kind of like I'm just jotting down the music that I like and curating it, putting it together and try to do a good blend and,
right.
and you know, pull up to a set. But yeah, DJing is fun because it's a whole nother evolving place where I can, you know, just have another outlet, I guess.
Yeah, like expanding your practice,
yep.
Trying new things.
Yeah, yeah, for
sure.
Kind
of like lets your, you know, creative mind.
Yeah, yeah. Gets me out of my comfort zone because DJing is super, like, you know, I'm very, like, in front of a lot of people.
You can be like on it, you know?
Yeah, yeah, you gotta be on it.
Controlling the vibe.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's a huge task.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of prep, really. It's like getting all the raw songs and just some nostalgia stuff and, you know, putting it together.
Yeah, I'm really, you know, obviously I write a lot about music, but I'm also interested in those cross sections of, like, fashion and music or, like, jewelry and music, like these other, you know, were you drawn to music from, like, a young age?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Or like rap music in particular?
Yeah, for sure. My dad, he was always playing a lot of rap music back in the day. Both my mom and dad were, they were in fraternities. So they were always at step shows, like performing and whatnot. So I always attended those. But I feel like that's like my earliest.
That's interesting.
Like, yeah. When I was first put on, like, you know, music, a lot of, like, you know, hip-hop, obviously.
Yeah.
But, yeah, from that, for sure. And then just growing up into it, play a lot of basketball, skating back in the day. So just listening to all types of music and evolving with it. So, which is kind of cool because now I have, like, a library of just, like, stuff that I like, you know, and know about. And along with learning new stuff, like there's so much new stuff that comes out is so overwhelming, but just like finding it and then putting it together with older stuff and mixing it in for a set, I feel like that's fun to do.
Yeah.
You know?
So now you're DJing in Cuba.
Yeah. Friday. First time DJing out of the country, so it should be fun.
That's crazy.
But yeah, this is, I mean, I've only done a few sets. I don't even know.
Right.
Oh, yeah. But,
congrats.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
It'll happen before this is released, but
it's yeah, still yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah. For sure. No, it should be fun. Yeah, we'll see. I don't have too much like reggaeton or anything.
But yeah, we'll see maybe. How it goes. Maybe they'll be cool with hip hop.
I'm playing Hella Gunna.
Oh, in Cuba?
Yeah. We'll see how they react.
All right. Well, thank you for your time.
Yeah, that's it. Sweet. Oh, that was easy.